Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 531.24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems. But getting therapy has its own problems too. Like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Hello and welcome to yet another episode of FFS Another Brexit Podcast. This might be our last week of uncertainty before we finally know what is going to go on with Brexit. So let's enjoy all the wild speculation and predictions whilst we can.
Don't jinx it.
I mean, I say that now. Clearly I've jinxed it, but we are where we are. So this week we've got the Vice President of the National Union of Students and longtime supporter of FFS, Erica Ramos. She's joining us for her very first podcast, I hear. So Erica will be speaking on behalf of FFS at the People's Vote March on Saturday. Is an incredible activist and an all-round good egg. Between the three of us, we can give you all the inside gossip about the historic upcoming People's Vote March together for a final say.
Very exciting indeed.
You sound so excited, Izzy.
I am excited. Yeah.
What a week. As always, we're in danger of being dangerously out of date, as it takes about 15 hours for this podcast to finish recording before it goes online. There are a couple of things that almost certainly will continue to be the same.
Completely. For example, everyone is and will continue to be properly on edge, like the calm before the storm, some people would say. We all know it's going to be a big week, but despite all of the ridiculous pomp and circumstance around the Queen's speech, it doesn't quite feel like it's kicked off yet.
So what actually happened this week? Boris Johnson met with Leo Varadkar. Did I say it right? Yes.
Yeah, fine.
The Irish Taoiseach, and the dead Brexit deal took reanimation in the form of a custom partnership.
Yes, essentially Boris Johnson is trying to flog a harder Brexit version of Theresa May's deal, isn't he?
How that's played out, if there is a deal, what it looks like and ultimately who it pisses off is yet to be seen.
And I just have a feeling what it's actually going to do is single-handedly piss off everybody that it always
Absolutely.
Has pissed off all in one go.
Absolutely.
But the best bit of all of this was Number 10 briefing out that they were a long way from a deal and asking for patience from the press lobby. Over 3 years after the referendum and with just 2 weeks before the October 31st deadline. Truly amazing stuff.
I think patience will be in short supply, don't you?
Absolutely. I mean, I'm talking for myself when I say it already is. So we also had the Queen's speech yesterday, where the government was meant to set out its legislative agenda, which is essentially completely pointless, given that Boris Johnson has a majority of minus 45.
And of course, we have to mention that although parliaments may once again have been prorogued, FFS events have not. The FFS tour is still going on with Rosie at James Watt College and Rosie and Richard at Brunel this coming week.
And elsewhere in the news, the biggest news story of the week, Colleen Rooney should be recruited to find the anonymous Number 10 source. We need another dramatic reveal. It was Dominic Cummings' account. It's been said too much and too often, but this week it really does feel like we're beginning to reach the Brexit endgame, Avengers style.
Dum, dum, dum. But
I live for that. But one of the most important parts of any journey is, of course, the end.
Yeah, we've only got the European Council, Parliament sitting for the first time on a Saturday since the Falkland War, and a potential vote on a people's vote, and the People's Vote March together for a final say, maybe the biggest ever.
So it's going to be a quiet week, but obviously FFS will be represented by some amazing FFS activists, including Erica, who we'll be speaking to later.
And of course, Jason will be speaking too, for the first time on a People's Vote platform. Better late than never.
And clearly he's been slacking. I can say that because...
clearly.
Yeah, I've upgraded my co-host for this week and he's not here.
Hi, Jason.
Anyway, so the march is bound to be historic, not just because it could well be one of the biggest from the People's Vote campaign, but obviously because we will be in Parliament Square, probably as Parliament is deciding what next steps it is actually going to take on Brexit. It's going to be a very, very historic and important day. As people are marching outside, Parliament will be inside, potentially voting on a number of different things. If Johnson gets a deal, they'll vote on that. If Johnson doesn't get a deal, they'll probably be voting on that. I'd also expect votes on a general election, a confirmatory referendum, and a vote of no confidence in the government.
Basically, if you had other plans on Saturday, cancel them. Come to the march. We need MPs to hear our voices and see the power behind our movement. This is not one you want to miss. This is one that you will tell your grandkids one day. I was there and I did something about it. Students and young people, make sure you arrive at Crown and Rose by Green Park at around 11 to be part of the FFS block.
Can confirm it's the best block to be a part of.
Absolutely.
And not only this, far from having just tunnel vision for the march, FFS are still travelling around the country, mobilising young people and engaging with students. Izzy will be in Oxford with Erica and Rosie will be in Cambridge, as well as lots of other students and groups getting ready to come and join us on Saturday.
We're showing no signs of slowing down.
Absolutely not.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do it. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
Mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 531.24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
And now on to the section of the podcast where we talk to a special guest about all the latest drama. And this week, we're happy to have with us the Vice President of NUS, Erica Ramos.
Hi, thank you so much for having me.
Welcome. Thank you for being with us. So the first question that we always ask all of our guests is, if you could give someone an FFS award for doing something ridiculous in the context of Brexit, who would you give it to this week?
Wow, we start really hard. And I think, honestly, I think I'm going to say all of them because it's been ridiculous and it's too hard to pick who is the best.
So every member of the government gets an award.
Exactly, exactly.
Personally, I quite like that.
Same.
Great answer. So Erica, as Vice President of the NUS and as someone who spends a lot of time on campuses across the country, what do you think students across the UK are feeling about the current political situation? Is it scaring them away from politics or are they more interested than ever?
Yeah, I don't think it's actually scaring them. I think it's making them feel more angry and more agitated and starting to realize how important this is for their futures. You're right. I've been traveling up and down the country and meeting a lot of students in various campuses. And I really do see that whenever I mention the word Brexit, they are very much rolling their eyes and also open to a debate because I feel like they're actually wondering, what should they think about all of this? Because it's actually a nightmare. It's actually a mess. And they really do know that this is actually going to impact their futures.
Yeah.
So really, I think that they're starting to be more, how do you say it, like alarmed about it. So no, it's not scaring them. It's actually making them feel more angry and more focused about the situation.
I suppose in a way, us three in particular would quite like that, because hopefully then people channel their energies into, you know, into doing something about it, right? Rather than just kind of getting angry.
100%.
Coming to the march. And
yeah. Joining FFS, getting involved in their student union. We could plug all the lines here, couldn't we?
Totally.
Get them in. But so obviously one of the things that might come up, personally, fingers crossed it doesn't, is a general election. Now, how are NUS going to try and engage students and encourage them, particularly to register to vote, but also just to, like you said, acknowledge like what's going on?
Yeah, really good question. And I'm really glad that you said that, because obviously people should be more aware of what NUS is actually doing. Mm. And we have already started. We've started to mobilize a lot of students through freshers. Obviously the peak time where students come over to campus. And then we have been setting up our own stalls. And I and the various officers in NUS have been actually talking to students and to incentivize, is that a word?
Incentivize.
Yeah. So we've been actually incentivizing students to register to vote. And, you know, I was actually expecting a very standoffish behavior from students. I'm not going to lie. But actually, they've been very much so. They're very much saying, yes, I will register to vote. How do I do that? And NUS has prepared a lot of leaflets to explain to them how to register to vote, where to go, and why it's important to vote, and who should you speak to make an informed decision.
That's so good, isn't it? Especially because all you ever see in the media is the, oh, of course students aren't going to register, like blah, blah, blah. So it's actually so nice to hear that you're not getting that standoff reaction of people tell me where and tell me how.
This is not what we believe in. And students are very much tired of being called just a bunch of let me say that again. Students are being really tired of being called just apathetic avocado eating snowflakes. And you know, and it's just tiring, because these are people that are calling us that are people from Westminster, the government, and people that we should be looking up to, when in reality, if this is how they see us as students and the youth, it's actually quite alarming. It's like, what are you actually doing for us and for our futures?
Yeah.
Right?
No, absolutely. And I think, I mean, obviously we're in a slight echo chamber in this room, but I do like to think that if we do have a general election, there'll be a bigger turnout of young people and students than ever before.
You can definitely count on that, because all the students that I've been speaking to, they are very much saying, yes, I have already registered to vote. Majority of students that I've spoken to actually said, yes, I've already registered to vote. This is a nightmare. And we are definitely going to the polls. And NUS is also going to be launching our biggest ever, you know, Generation Vote kind of campaign, asking a lot of students to register to vote. So yeah, they can definitely expect a big turnout of students and young people. Yeah.
Maybe I don't dread an election so much. I still slightly dread one, but I like the sound of that election.
Yeah.
Just a personal question from me. Do you think that Brexit kind of awakened this passion or this zeal for politics within the youth? Because I personally do. Funny story, actually, the first time I ever voted was in the EU referendum.
Really?
And I was a politics student, and that's how
I was going to say.
I did politics in IR, but I was just so disenfranchised with British politics because I never really saw myself in it. I didn't know how I fit in. I didn't even know, and this sounds so bad, God forgive me, who my MP was, my local MP, not where I was based at uni, I did, but who was my MP at home. I just didn't really see how politics, or party politics specifically, affected me. So it wasn't until I saw the EU referendum and I thought, oh my God, I need to do something. I need to actually vote this time. And that is what really triggered my political activeness. So before that, I was like, I knew in theory everything, but then it wasn't until that moment that I became politically active. And I wonder, and it's quite funny because when we go around and speak to people on campuses, it's the same thing they say as well. Like, if it wasn't for Brexit, albeit it's an atrocious thing for students, it kind of made everyone wake up to the realization that we need to educate ourselves, we need to know more. And I just wondered if that was the same for you.
Yeah, I think that, you echoed a little bit of how students actually feel there, is that, yes, Brexit was one of the biggest things that fueled that fire. But also, if you see a lot of the things that are happening in the media, like, you know, the dominance of the far right politics, like Trump, and, you know, what was happening with the Amazon fires, like the and the climate strikes and everything, students are actually starting to realize how important this is for them and for their futures. It's we are living, and I know this sounds very doom and gloom, but we are living in quite dark times. And in dark times actually starts, you know, waking up that realization for students that, yeah, we need to do something, because if we don't do something, then what the hell is the point? Like, what, we're just gonna, like, you know, just let it happen. Because I think that when we grow up from children to now, as young adults, we start to realize that actually it's kind of bad that we look back, like, we really did wish that we were educated and more informed about these things, because now we look back and say, maybe we, if we knew about all the stuff that's happening now, previously, when we were younger, this wouldn't have happened.
Absolutely.
So yeah.
That's one of the things I always think is actually quite, that I reflect on, isn't that I wasn't maybe like engaged or anything. I just wish my education had been so different, like literally, like, yeah, you said. Absolutely. But like, I'm quite, like, I had quite a good education and quite a varied one, but I don't think I knew half as much about, like you said, climate strikes as the like 11-year-olds who are now striking know about that, like, climate change. And I sometimes think, oh, I'm actually a bit jealous that you've been, in a weird way,
I know exactly about what you mean.
So you know what you're talking about, because I'm only just learning about like that side of things.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I guess, I'm sorry. And then I was just going to say that we're getting to a point where we feel like there is still hope, and to rectify whatever is happening right now. And we definitely want to be a part of that.
As an EU national currently applying for settled status because of Brexit, how do you feel about the whole process?
So this is interesting, right? Because I've already went through the process, and I guess that I could speak a little bit about my experience through the process, and then I'll just say, like, in general of how it actually feels like. So I guess step one for me was to look for a friend that had an Android phone. Because I'm an iPhone user, and I know a lot of my friends are also iPhone users. So it's a bit, okay, step one, let's find someone who's got an Android phone, and then we, and or a tablet. And when we found those people, that was when it got interesting, because not every Android is up to date to actually handle the app that they've created, the EU exit one. So then it became step 1.2, which is to find someone that has an Android that actually is able or capable of actually running the app. So then we found that. And then it was like, okay, that was interesting. So that doesn't alienate people at all. So then when we go into the app, it kind of goes through this process of like asking us questions of looking at our ID or our passport, if it's actually valid and all of that. Okay, fine. Yeah. It feels, for me personally, it feels really weird to actually put my passport or it asked for me to put the passport and the ID on my phone, and it just felt very strange. It felt, oh wow, this technology is amazing. But it felt really odd to actually having to be in that position of just scanning my documents at first. And yeah, and then once I actually gone through the whole thing, and then they give you immediately what is your new status. And then it was weird for me because I've been here for 5 years. And they told me that their records show that that I was here for less than 5 years. And that is not true. So then, and so they gave me a pre-settled status. And I was like, all right, okay. So you give me a little bit of more time to stay in this country. Fine. But I did challenge it and asked, gave them some proof that I've been here longer than 4 years.
Was it just a mistake, like on their system, that they had it around for the wrong time, or?
To be honest, I'm not really sure about that. Maybe it's just like a missed information or missed documents that are not there. Right. So they just asked like for me to prove that I've been here for more than 5 years.
Yeah.
So and I do have proof, and I'm just waiting for the response on that actually. So it's interesting because obviously I've been here for more than 5 years, and so I'm just wondering and waiting for them to actually tell me. Am I going to stay here for another 5 years? And that was what I was going to say, is that this, so if I am, if then I prove that I've been here for more than 5 years, then they give me a settled status, which is, I think they give me 5 years in the country. It's like, oh, that's great. So I can actually stay here for 5 years. But then what's going to happen next? What if I actually want to stay and if I see a future of being here in this country for more than 5 years? So then that feels a bit odd that I can't decide that for myself. And then looking back, for the people or students actually that want to apply for a pre-settled status, I think that they only give them 36 months, which is the duration of 3 years of their course, right? Of their undergraduate course. But what about people that are doing PhD? What about people that are doing, that want to, that they're planning on doing the master's and all of these things? And then it's just, it makes us wonder, are we actually welcome in here? Do you guys want us to come and study in your country and actually broaden our, you know, knowledge and everything and actually experience the world outside of our home countries? It just feels really sad. It feels very strange. It feels as if we are not in control of our futures.
And there's such an interesting point there, isn't it? Because it's like the one thing I think our country is, to a certain extent, rightly so proud of is our education system, like in particular unis more than anything else is what the government likes to shout about. But you would think if you want to continue that pride, you almost need everyone around the world to be proud of it too. And you should be making it as easy as possible for people to come. And that, I mean, you're right. The technology sounds interesting, but it doesn't sound easy.
Like, I was going to say, you would think that an app would make it very easy and accessible, but it makes the assumption that everyone has access to an Android phone, for example. And there just, it seems like quite a lot of barriers to get through just to have something that you would have had if we had remained in the EU.
Correct. Mm. Yep.
So that whole process of applying, step one, step 1.2, all that kind of stuff, has it made you view the UK as a whole differently?
It feels like times are changing. I felt, you know, before I made the decision of actually moving into this country, I thought, you know, I'm going to be fine. I'm going to move freely through the borders. Once I finish my studies, I can actually still decide if I want to continue living in the country. And it feels very much so that I'm actually feeling more comfortable in that sense. But when those things happened with Brexit, I was like, oh, if I knew about those stuff before, my decision might have been different.
Yeah.
My decision might have been different because it feels very much as if maybe I shouldn't go there because it's going to be a hassle because I'm not, and me as an EU national, does it feel like I should be there? Mm. You know? Mm-hmm. And it's strange because you'd think that in the world nowadays, you think, okay, and anyone can move freely. Like, you know, it's an open world and all of that. But now it feels as if we're going back in time and going and closing the borders and all of that and making it harder for us to move around freely. So it's strange. It's really strange.
Mm-hmm. I think what you said could be summarized in simply like, are you wanted? Do you feel wanted in this country or not?
Yeah. Do people like me feel wanted? Do people like me actually have a reason to be here? And one of the biggest reasons why I actually wanted to move in the UK was because I felt like Amanda said, it was such a diverse, everyone's so proud of their diversity and their multicultural world. And now it just feels like, is it still going to be like that after Brexit? Yeah. What's going to happen with that? And it's not just that, but also the rising fees for international students on all of these things. What is actually happening to the whole like global education and opening its borders for people? It just feels like we're going back in time.
Yeah. I mean, I agree with you, and I don't even have to go through the process of applying to stay. But yeah.
Well, obviously you're speaking at the rally for the people's vote. Are you excited?
Correct. I am excited and also quite nervous because I know that there's going to be quite a turnout, isn't it? And it's going to be my first time actually speaking in front of more than, you know, I don't know what was my biggest public before, but hearing the fact that it's going to be around a million or more, a million people or more, it's a bit nerve-wracking, I'm not going to lie. But it's exciting. It's quite, it's an opportunity to say to a lot of people what you actually feel.
Yeah, I think as well, the one thing that we know, obviously, there's been a couple of these marches in the runs now, but people, they act like, obviously, they love the politicians, they love like the speakers that everyone's seen on like the TV and all that kind of stuff, but they absolutely like live for like the young activists or the student reps because they're like, oh my God, your generation does care. Like, you're here with us, and they just absolutely love it. So
100%. And I feel like that is going to be my opportunity to speak on behalf of a lot of, you know, thousands of students, thousands, millions of young people, because they do want that say, don't they? They do. They like, of all this conversation that we've had in this podcast, I'm actually just, I'm starting to be even more excited for this, because this is our time. This is going to be our future. And it's going to be an interesting, it's going to be very interesting to see how it all plays out.
Oh, I've got chills, I reckon. an inspiring note to finish
well
on.
Well said.
But anyway, so thank you. Very much looking forward to Saturday and having you in front of those thousands and thousands of adoring fans as you tell them how students are so passionate and ready to.
Oh, yeah.
I'll be in the front row with Izzy, like running around screaming and like being a bit of a fangirl. But thank
Cheering
you so
you
much. Thank you so much for coming on the podcast.
Thank you for having me.
It's been really interesting to have you. I'm very excited to hear your speech on Saturday.
Looking forward to it. Thank you.
Well, thank you very much for listening, and fingers crossed we'll have some exciting developments next week.
But at least one thing we will absolutely know is we're always, always going to have a lot to talk about.
Of course. See you all on Saturday.
Goodbye.
Bye.
That was such a cute little goodbye.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
I'm Ina Garten. Welcome to Be My Guest, the podcast. One of the best gifts you can give friends is spending time together. But what's even better than that? Cooking with them. On Be My Guest, the podcast, new friends and old stop by my barn for some conversation and great cooking. We talk about food, life, and everything in between. Listen to Be My Guest, the podcast with me, Ina Garten, and join us wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.